Dan, maybe you can comment on this and maybe just briefly mention your 83-year-old man who was on the trial, as I'm kind of curious about the palliative impact and what happened with this man.
Well, you know, this patient was a gentleman who had initially presented with a spinal cord compression and had a decompressive laminectomy and then went on hormone therapy and subsequently went on chemotherapy at progression. And then we had a decision as to whether he should go on isotope with samarium or Rad-223 or possibly be referred for an MDV-3100 study.
At that point, was he symptomatic?
He was symptomatic with pain at that particular
point. Like diffuse pain?
He had diffuse pain and he was on narcotic analgesics for that. So we actually had referred him for treatment with Rad-223, and my predominant logic with that was that he had had an epidural compression before. And I think one of the more unique aspects of the ASIMCA trial on the subgroup analysis is the fact that there was a reduced rate of spinal cord compression on that particular trial. And I think that this is one of the unique aspects of this drug. This has never been reported with any other phase 3 trial specifically for cord compressions.
So before you go on to that, because actually we have pretty educated people, we actually had a question here, which I wasn't sure where it came from. Now I see Oliver. Why does radium-223 reduce cord compression and strontium doesn't?
I just think you're achieving better disease control. You know, the spinal cord compression typically develops from a posterior enlargement or epidural metastases from prostate cancer. And I think bottom line is that you end up controlling the disease better in the bone, and that has positive ramifications for a variety of skeletal related events.
So what happened with this man?
He was treated, he had some improvement in pain control.
And what are you thinking in terms of how you might utilize this agent if it's approved?
That's a great question. I certainly am going to use this in patients who may not tolerate chemotherapy if they've had extensive treatment beforehand. But my real question is, should we be moving this up front earlier before chemotherapy? And again, the questions that we have about sequencing and about bone marrow suppression over time really clearly need to be answered, because we've traditionally used isotopes late in these patients to relieve symptoms. And perhaps what we should be doing is making the bone environment unfriendly to cancer cells further implanting and growing. And I think that that's probably the most fertile area for clinical trial development.
Matt, what are you thinking in terms of how you might want to use this?
Well, this was a study of patients who were late. The median survival in both arms is around a year or so. So these were very high-risk patient population. I envision using it in patients who progress on chemotherapy or who are taking a holiday from chemotherapy if they had a good response. Remember, this is 6 monthly treatments as the planned treatment duration, so in order to achieve patient benefit, you're going to try to treat the patient for about 6 months. So you want to look at patients who have that window of time to do so. I think it is a reasonable therapeutic option for patients who are poor candidates for chemotherapy. I do worry about that as a regulatory issue, and I look forward to seeing how the FDA reviews that. From a clinical perspective, though, it is a real and practical problem. There's a substantial subset of patients who are too old and frail to safely receive chemotherapy, and there are some patients who just choose not to receive chemotherapy. But I would envision it preferentially using it in patients who have progressed on chemotherapy or who are on a holiday from chemotherapy, and certainly would use it primarily or exclusively in patients with bone-only or bone-dominant disease.
Mario, how are you thinking?
I'd be interested to see what the FDA will restrict the approval for this drug. I mean, clearly, there are issues that need to be addressed, early use, combined use with cytotoxic drugs. I mean, alpha particles are very toxic to the cells, and the penetration is less. So things like bone marrow effects of a binding to the osteoblastic area and on the repercussions on the bone marrow in terms of suppression, I think, appear to be low when used alone, but I'm not sure that we have information on what will happen if we subsequently give chemotherapy, if we give chemotherapy together. I know samarium and strontium, when given with chemotherapy, have a cumulative effect on the bone marrow, which can be quite significant. And I think that all this is still something that we don't know about. The